This is Sean with Voices of SE, and I'm speaking to Brian Wade. Brian, how are you doing today?
Sean, great to hear from you, man.
Great to hear from you.
Love what you're doing here. Glad to be on this program.
I'm glad you're on it. Now, you've been at the top of the food chain with, and I'm going to kind of preface this before we get into the past, companies like Salesforce, like Exact Target, even Sigster, as far as in technology and selling enterprise clients some major marketing and communication and technology solutions. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah, I've been in the software business for about 20 years now.
Okay. And like, for example, I think Exact Target, weren't you the guy for Microsoft?
Yeah, we work with Microsoft. They're one of our clients and partners. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I ran the product team over there.
Okay. So you appreciate this idea of collective brain, being able to access everybody easily through kind of an online portal of all the brothers telling their stories, as well as hearing from the actives and what they're doing and what their successes are. What do you think about the concept just before we get started?
I just love the idea. I can hear my old friends, and just, you know, it's been so long since I've seen some of these guys. It's just great to hear their interviews, and then just with the actives, just seeing what they're up to and hearing how things are going out the house.
Right on. All right, so let's start out from the beginning. What day, year, and or whatever, birth date, and where you were born, what city?
June 4th, 1976. I was born in Bloomington, Indiana.
Okay. High school, grade school, what were they?
I grew up in Carmel. Went to Carmel High School, graduated from Carmel.
All right, so what sports and community activities did you do in grade school or high school?
Well, you know, growing up like every kid in Indiana, of course, played basketball, but those days ended. Carmel High School had a pretty good basketball team. State champion, runner-up when I was a junior. But you know, I ran cross-country. I played tennis, track, those kind of things was more my bag in high school.
I did some cross-country and track as well. I might. What was your mile?
I could run about a 5 minute and 16 second mile.
I was 5:18, you son of a bitch. All right. So, path to SAE. Why did you decide Ball State? What was the factors that led you there? And then who and how were you connected to the house?
So I applied to a bunch of colleges, Ball State, IU, Purdue, Xavier down in Cincinnati. And my dad went to IU, my mom went to IU. I just felt like I needed to do something different. And I went up and visited Ball State and met this guy, Don Caracco, Dr. K, the head of the entrepreneurship program. And the guy was just an amazing salesman and convinced me to come to Ball State. So I accepted my offer in my senior year. And then about 2 weeks before school started, I was out. And if you've ever been to Carmel High School, they got all these basketball courts, about, you know, 20 basketball courts up by the football stadium and lots of pickup games. And I'm playing pickup ball with this guy. And he has a fraternity shirt. It says Ball State. And I didn't know any of the Greek letters. He was a Lambda Chi. And he was like, man, you got to come join a fraternity. It's amazing. So he got me to rush. And I didn't know any SAEs. And I was in a rush group with Eric Patton and Nate Nichols and a few other guys that were just down to earth, you know, guys from Lawrenceburg, Indiana. And, you know, walking through the Delt house and all these different houses, you know, they're like, oh, you're from Carmel, blah, 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 blah. And like, you know, I didn't like the vibe I got, the way they treated me different than those guys. I thought it was, you know, stuck up and kind of like, you know, I didn't care for it. I, you know, went to the SAE house, Adam Kaloje, Kevin Kaloje, Adam Neese, Brian Wolf, all these guys, Corey Miller, Brian Johnson was from Carmel. He was the president at the time. And just, man, Mark Pelsier, couldn't ask to meet just a nicer group of guys. And I just decided that was the path I was going to take.
You know, the number one word that I always said why we're different than the others is we have a very high level of sarcasm.
Yeah. Sarcasm and just, I think, genuine guys, you know, they didn't treat me or Eric Patton or Nate Nichols any different. We all kind of, you know, hung out and it was like just, guys who didn't have a stick up their ass.
Right. All right. So pledge class, year, name. What was it?
Beta Nu, 94.
Fall spring.
The fall of 94, and you know, I kind of have a legendary story from that semester, Sean, as you remember.
Go ahead.
And one of the fire alarms at one of the dorms. That was me, and I got caught, and I got suspended from the fraternity, from the school. Sorry, for a semester. So
for a semester, I didn't know that. I didn't realize you were suspended for a semester. Holy shit!
I made it to Watermelon Bust, and past homecoming, and it was fall break, and Dean of students, I can still remember him. Yeah, he pulled me into his office, and he told me I had to call my dad. My dad had to come get me, and I went and worked. Went to work for a little while, and then I went to Indiana State. And while I was at ISU, I pledged SAE, finished my pledgeship, went through there, and then transferred back to Ball State for my sophomore year.
I'm sorry. I completely forgot about that, Dan.
Yeah, I remember being down in Indiana State, and I called Corey Miller, who was the president at the time, and I was like, and I guess, you know, the house, you needed some guys in the house. There weren't that many guys that year in the house. I think there was an incident in the basement where, like, there might have been some members removed from the fraternity the spring before, if you recall. Anyway, so I called and said, hey, I'd love to come move in the house. And Corey Miller was like, well, hell yeah. So I called up Steve Dobbs and Phil Cope, Jim Couch. I'm like, hey, guys, I'm coming back. And Cope was like, I'll live with you. Come on up.
All right, who's sweetheart?
Oh, Melissa. Melissa was her last name.
Madeline.
I can't remember. Yeah, correct. Yeah, and then I think we had Raquel, and then Jennifer Cabezzi. Those are the three I remember.
Okay, all right. So we're gonna take it off campus. What are some great road trip memories, experiences with brothers outside of the university?
Oh man, well there was a crew of us that would go skiing. You and me and Court Miller and a few others. Snow Days was the name of the tour. We'd go out to Colorado. We'd pay like $300 for like 4 nights and 5 days in Colorado skiing. It was
Aspen.
Unbelievable.
Aspen snowmass. Yes.
Aspen. Yeah, I sold those ski trips, and then I did the spring break trips to Cancun and Mazatlan with the guys. Had some great memories with Llewellyn and Patton and Beard and Dobbs and Mazatlan.
You know, I started that. I can't believe you took over on that. I didn't know that.
I totally remember you. So you introduced me to the guy.
Well, he was an SAE from LA, and he like came onto campus and went to the SAE house and said, "Who's the guy that knows the most people in other places?" And they got me, and I introduced him to everybody. He's like, "You need to be head rep." I'm like, "I don't want to be head rep." He goes, "You already introduced me. Just be head rep. And get some people, you know, get underneath you, and you can get a trip." And I'm like, all right.
Yeah. I signed up the DZs underneath me 1 year, and one of the girls from Delta, she signed up like 70 girls. So, you know, getting girls, they loved me. Those guys loved me because I brought, you know. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Steve Simoleski. Anyway, yeah, those were great trips. The walkouts. I remember walking out to the University of Illinois, walking into that champagne house, partying with those guys. Those were some great trips.
All right. So let's talk about some Patty Murphy.
Yeah.
Talk about some Patty, because I haven't really brought up Patty Murphy that often, but I'd like you to talk about some memories of Patty Murphy. And for the young guys, explain some of the traditions that we had with Patty Murphy.
Man, so we always brought back an alumni to lay in the casket. That always was a weird part for me at the beginning when I first kind of went through my first Patty Murphy. And, not every house does that. It's pretty unique. They didn't do that at Indiana State, I can tell you that. Obviously, we stake the front yard. We have the funeral procession, all that good stuff. I just remember, getting dressed up and asking girls that maybe were a little bit out of my league to come party with me that night. Sometimes it worked out, sometimes it didn't.
Okay, but what about the reading of the wills?
Of course, I forgot about that.
Come on.
Oh man, so I'm kind of pale. I'm kind of pale. So people would make fun of my, I'm Casper the Friendly Ghost kind of stuff. And
well, explain the structure of it. Like, what's the reading of the wills?
Right. So, you read, well, the way that it would work is that I would write up a will to one of my fraternity brothers, and we would all write stuff about each other. And of course, you're writing stupid shit, right? You're writing stuff that's inappropriate. But I remember one year, Tony Kearns was reading the wills, and they willed me they willed me some suntan lotion because, like I said, I was like Casper from the Ghost. They willed me all kinds of stuff that was inappropriate. So the girls would sit there, you know, your girlfriend or some. You know, girl that you brought, they didn't quite get all the jokes, but the guys would be laughing. So there was like this, well, tell me what that means, you know, all that back and forth between your date. And sometimes they were inappropriate and wrong. You'd be like, ooh, and sometimes they were hilarious. And so it's like a roast. It's like a roast like you see on TV where they roast some superstar. You're just basically roasting each other and having a good time.
Yep. All right. So some great party moments at the house that you remember some things happening that were over the top.
Oh, man, my very, very first night, the day we joined, what do you call that? The bid party or whatever. Yeah. We're like you, yeah, yeah, initiation or whatever. And yeah, man, we all got put up in that room at the very top of the stairs where the pool table was. The door was closed and locked. Our pledge trainers had made sure no one was coming in. You know, we brought our change of clothes. And everyone's like, well, wait until you hear the Enter Sandman. And very, you know, Metallica, right? And we could hear the music, you know, the DJ's playing. And the moment they played Enter Sandman, we jammed down the stairs into the kitchen around the corner. And everyone's just sitting there partying. And they all throw you a beer. And people are like, you know, they've already got beer shaken up. And they're spraying it on you. And everyone's just, it's like a 30-second, maybe minute and a half, just rush of fun. And then I got to go shower and party, and that was a good one. Yeah, you know what, and just, I heard Dondo talking about this, just hanging out in the lawn in the front yard, man. Like, I have to agree with John, that was one of the best parts. I mean, the parties were great. I remember taking my shirt off and jumping and like doing stair dives where we dive down the stairs with our shirts off, me and Phil Cope and a bunch of guys, and you know, riding like sleds down the stairs at 2 a.m. But yeah, the best part was just hanging out in the front lawn with the guys.
Okay, so if you were going to describe how SE has made your life better after college, what would you say, and what different directions that has done that?
Well, you know, it definitely taught me discipline with regard to just balancing the opportunities to party and drink with getting your work done. You know, I think saw a lot of guys not make it, not graduate because they partied too much or didn't have the discipline. So I kind of put these like weird mental systems in place for myself to like, you know, I actually, no one really probably knows this, but I really never drank Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Never, not even on homecoming. I just never did it. I always just had like this discipline. Now, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you know, game on, but it kind of taught me that, again, that I set specific time for study tables. It created a structure for me. And then, you know, I think going through the, you know, every Sunday night going to chapter, guys argue, guys fight, guys don't get along, right? You learn about different personalities and how to manage through conflict. It's an underestimated part of the fraternity life, I think, that build skills, that soft skills that you end up using later.
Yeah, throughout corporations and business and communication and all of it. So
yeah, like even to this day, if I'm out at a dinner for work, I don't. If it's Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, I don't have a drink. No, I just don't. I don't know why. I will on a Thursday, but I just don't. I don't those days.
Right. All right. So for the actives they get two different interviews. One of their like high school and college successes and goals for after college, and then another one that's just stories. What advice would you give them, and what would you like to hear from them talk about besides just the house?
My advice is that any kid from Ball State can be in a C-suite, can be with the highest level executives, guys that went to MIT, Harvard, Stanford. You can hang with those people. You're probably smarter than those people when it comes to street smarts. And you probably have a drive that they just don't have. And that's what I've experienced where, you know, I come in, I'm Brian Wade, I went to Ball State, blah, 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 blah. Oh, I'm you know, Adam Bosworth, I went to MIT. Greg Johnson, Stanford. These are real people, by the way. And they're very, very smart. But, you know, they haven't had to kind of overcome this, like, you know, go to Ball State, you don't have a silver spoon in your mouth. So you kind of grind it and earn it, and you've got just a desire. And so if I talk to any kid from Ball State, I'm just like, man, don't let anybody from IU or Purdue or anybody, don't ever think they're better than you, because I guarantee you, you can outwork them, and you can make it higher in any organization.
So what would you like to hear from them on their interviews?
On their interviews, man, I would just like to hear about the parties. Tell me about homecoming. Where, you know, I went back to the house, and I know they don't have the parties at the house anymore. What's it like? Do they go off campus? Do they have a DJ? I just would love to know more about the party scene.
Do you think it has clout to also be able to hear about their successes? So for potential job hire.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Like, in fact, I'm interviewing a Ball State student in a couple weeks for an internship. Guy's a designer, and if there's people that, you know, have done internships or have built done projects that are, you know, relevant to what I do, I'd love to hear about that.
Okay, all right. Well, listen, and finally, what were your positions at the house?
Oh, well, I did the rush 1 year. I was rush chair. I was homecoming chair. We won homecoming. I actually went to the homecoming office and got the scorecard on how they calculate the winner, and then we worked our way backwards and made sure we scored on every event to win. Kind of, you know, worked the system.
Yep.
I was alumni relations. I'm trying to think of some others. Mostly, yeah, the rush one was the most stressful one for sure.
Okay. All right, well, we're going to do one to honor Jason Booz, who passed. This was great. Loved hearing all the stuff. You brought a lot of stuff back for me. It was awesome. And, is there who would you like to hear that were older than you or even younger than you? Who would be some people you'd really like to hear, you know?
Tony Pelea, Glenn Menge. You know, the guys that, like, maybe, you know, weren't president. I mean, I had nothing against Corey Miller or Brian Johnson or any of the guys that are president, but, you know, I'd love to hear from Kevin Kaloje, you know, maybe even some younger guys. You know, it'd be cool to hear from Shane Brown.
Right.
Shane Bang.
I tried to look him up on Facebook. Couldn't find him.
I can get you his info.
Okay, cool. All right, well, listen, Phi Alpha, we're going to close this one out and then do one for Booz.
Thanks, Sean.